Hello, Pisces and Pisces rising, and I imagine a good few Pisces moon natives. Welcome to This Is the Time, and this is the record of the time. Your 2020 and into 2021 reading. My name's Eric Francis, here a little bit later than planned. It is kind of a wild moment, and this Mercury retrograde has been rather tremendously interesting and challenging. I trust that you're doing well. Thank you for your patience with the delay in this reading. And let's see if I can convey some useful information and vibes to you. All right. So this is a year, into next year, where the Pisces planets are going to be very active. This, I think, has a few peaks through 2020, and then it really culminates with the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn at the end of the year in the first degree of Aries. And this is particularly relevant to you because Jupiter is the traditional ruling planet of Pisces. Though it is fair to say that Neptune plays an important role, and I'm going to have quite a bit to say about the presence of Neptune in your sign, but let's hang with Jupiter for a second, a little bit more. So Jupiter is doing some really spectacular things all through 2020, and these things are on the heels of some real challenges that have been manifest in your life, challenges associated with professional income. And what may have been public relations challenges. Now, it would be ridiculous to have been talking about this in 1990, even. But today, everyone is their own publicist. That's what all this stuff is. Whether it's Facebook or what's that other one? Instagram. Or Tinder, or Grindr, or Twitter, or whatever, there is a takeover of the public relations modality that has spread through the culture rather thoroughly. And we are, for the most part, all presenting ourselves to the public. Frequently, and often, and what this is doing is working the territory where one's being, one's personal being, existence, physical existence as a human creature is stretched into the ethereal realm of the internet, and it is extremely destabilizing. It is, I believe, after much thought, contemplation, study, and discussion with the McLuhan family, the thing that is basically driving society completely insane right now, destabilizing its institutions and its economy, and our sense of being, our sense of structure and the importance of having structures to live with. And, for example, the ability to have objective science to rely on such as it is. It's not perfect and it's often abused, but for example, in the case of global warming or the virus that's currently spreading in our birthday season, or having the law to depend upon. I think most people view the law as a thing that's annoying if you get a speeding ticket or having to file taxes or something like that, but the law is an important boundary that protects us, and it is being undermined, and tradition is being undermined, and the idea that we have anything in common as people is being undermined. And this is dangerous and destabilizing and painful. And what is so relevant about this for you is that when we talk about a relationship to the wider public, not necessarily the public at large, not necessarily being recognized by the entire crowd at a football game like a famous news commentator, but projecting ourselves into the etheric realm is destabilizing. And there are dangers involved. Some of them are spiritual dangers, and some are reputational dangers, and some are, speaking in the spiritual, the getting lost in an image or a concept. And for the past few years, this has been particularly rough territory. Where your chart intersects with this public realm is Capricorn, because Capricorn is the 11th sign from yours, making it the 11th solar house. If you're Pisces rising, it's your 11th house, using a method called whole sign houses. If you have the moon in Pisces, it's the 11th house of your moon, and the effect is basically the same for all of them. And so you tend to want to interrelate to the wider realm in a solid way. Capricorn wants something solid. It wants to be known for something tangible. Whether it's being the village shoemaker for 50 years, or an author, or something, your inner concept of reputation is a thing that wants to be tangible and solid. And that is not easy when there is so much going on in this house, including the very challenging run of Pluto through Capricorn beginning in 2008, which may have brought some distinct advantages. It's brought some real challenges. It has given you an opportunity to project yourself further than you might have ordinarily done so, taking advantage of the many tools we have to do this. And then came Saturn in late 2017, that shifted the whole reality and led you to, one way or the other, set some boundaries and to firm up something about your presence in the wider world, in this ethereal realm, because reputation is now no longer something that is real. In the sense that it was in earlier times in history, where, for example, it was spread by word of mouth in actual conversations. And that old school thing is almost gone. For you, learning from it any way you can and maintaining your connection to what is old is important. And I suggest that you do so as a conscious act, that you remain in possession of and working the territory of what is tangible. Now, after many challenges the past few years, Jupiter has arrived in your 11th house, and this is a refreshing development for you, such that, for example, you can demonstrate who you are and make connections to people that are new connections, and you have the opportunity to work on both the physical plane and this etheric plane of the digital realm. It is vital that you work both at the same time, if for no other reason than to preserve the memory and the feeling in your body of being physical. But it also means that when you are doing something like looking for a job or developing a clientele for your business, that you use the structures of the physical world as much as possible, that you get yourself in person as much as possible, rather than, like many people and entities are now doing, depending entirely on this non-physical realm of digital. A few things happen in the 11th house in this Capricorn realm. First of all, beginning on April the 4th, there is a series of three conjunctions of Jupiter to Pluto. This is the first time this has happened with Pluto in Capricorn. 2008. Yeah. Well, I'm going to pause and just verify that. It's very close if it came at the beginning. Hold on. Okay, correct. The last time Jupiter and Pluto were in a conjunction before Wednesday, before the 4th of April, was December 11, 2007, and it occurred in late Sagittarius. So this is a new thing for all of us. No one alive has ever experienced a Jupiter-Pluto conjunction in Capricorn, since the last time that happened was like 250 years ago. And this is a boost. It is an energy boost. It will serve as a financial boost in a time when your finances are something that you have to be very careful with. The financial challenges that you are facing are certainly not insurmountable, but they are challenging because it seems like you're always entering new territory and establishing your value over and over again. And one of the ways that you're establishing your value is your constant personal reevaluation. This series of Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions, which occur on the following dates, I don't have these committed to memory yet, but the first is April 4th, and then a retrograde on June 30th, and then a direct on November 12th, will serve as visibility and energy boosts, which you then can leverage to increase your professional revenue. But remember that the work of reputation is done meticulously and carefully, and to be well reputed is different from being famous. It is different from being any form of a celebrity. And what you are looking for is the most solid version of being known for the good work that you do. And that really means known in the circles of people who value and benefit from your work. And so what I'm suggesting here is that this is territory to anchor yourself in and work in a methodical, tangible way, as methodical and as tangible as possible. And to make sure that you are distributing your energy between the etheric digital realm and the solid, tangible, physical realm, however you may do that. We all know the digital tricks. Some are better than others. But the physical world, well, that means visiting people more, having meetings in person more, go to the place and meet the people, if that's what you need to do, so that in any situation that's competitive, you have an advantage, for example, of being a person known to those you're working with. And you, in that very Capricorn way, you gradually build the castle or climb the mountain. Now, perhaps the single most defining characteristic of your astrology at this time in your life is Neptune transiting through your birth sign. Let's get a date on that while we're doing the dates of things. So this particular era of a massive, powerful, yet really strange planet, the outermost planet, according to the current definition of a planet. Of course, there's 10,000 things out past it, but Neptune is considered the furthest most planet, as it is officially an ice giant, and all those little guys like Pluto are allegedly not counted anymore, but they do count in a different way. Anyway, Neptune entered your sign for the first time in its long cycle, so for any living person, on April 4, 2011, and it phased in through 2011 and 2012. Now, Neptune in any form is worth really paying attention to, and I'm going to include the Neptune article that I just wrote. And what was interesting was I realized I hadn't actually done a thorough article on Neptune in Pisces, despite the fact that it entered Pisces in 2011. I just kept forgetting to do it or overlooking it. And that's the way that Neptune works. Neptune has a tendency to disappear, and it has a tendency to make those under its influence feel invisible. You might not be invisible, but you can certainly feel a bit invisible. And so that is worth observing carefully and treating consciously. And the other thing about Neptune is that it has a shape-shifting quality. This is a very powerful benefit in our time of history, to be able to work with a shape-shifting quality. But you have to use this, I'll reluctantly use the word magic in the colloquial sense of it, gently and carefully, because you don't want to shape-shift yourself out of a consistent and dependable and reliable appearance. You want to be who you are and take steps to avoid veiling or cloaking yourself. One of the great advantages of having Jupiter in your 11th house is that you get some relief from the process of veiling or cloaking yourself, and you also get some relief from the somewhat harsh lessons of Saturn and Pluto that may have visited upon you at some point in recent years, and you get to expand yourself and your sense of who you are into a wider reality. Now, this too deserves some cautionary ideas put around it, because between Neptune being in your sign and Jupiter being in Capricorn, this place where you encounter all of these other people, it is easy to fall for the thing of letting others define you in some way. And so this is another, you know, thing to put on your list of conditions to pay careful attention to, is anything from conforming to what you think people expect of you in any of its forms, whether that's playing to the audience or whether it's allowing any group that you may belong to, whether it's an informal group of friends or whether it's a corporation that you work for, in any way determine what is right for you, or to go along with something grudgingly or unwillingly that is not really about who you are. Now, one of the elements of why that's so necessary to keep a pulse on is because one of the properties of Neptune, when it's placed in an angular house, which for you would be any of the mutable signs, so you don't get to go through that very often, though you might want to check your natal chart based on your rising sign and see where Pisces actually occurs in your natal chart, just so you know you can apply some of these ideas in a different way, perhaps a more specific way, but you know what to work with here. Neptune can create a sense of isolation. It can create a sensation of being distant and alone, and that is not necessarily true. However, the sensation, the feeling, the subtle psychic experience of being isolated is something that can lead you to potentially do things that you would not necessarily do otherwise. For example, agreeing with things that going along with things that you don't really agree with. And so, you want to observe this. And the isolating factor of Neptune is rather sly. And when you look back on the times when Neptune was very active in your chart, you can start to see that, well, that really, it wasn't really true that you were actually alone, but you may have had a series of experiences that induced you to feel like that. And it may also include a sense of distance from intimate partners. Everyone has different intimacy needs. Neptune's presence can make it feel as if your intimacy needs are not being met, like there's something that's just not connecting. And so in this sense as well, you want to make sure you work through the illusions that are inherent in this planet of illusions. Now, one of the advantages that you have as a Pisces is that Neptune and Pisces have a lot of similarities. I don't believe that Neptune rules Pisces. I don't use that word for the newly discovered modern planets. I know it may not seem like Neptune was newly discovered, but it wasn't that long ago. It was only in the 19th century. And Pisces can also have that sense of existential longing and the desire to kind of be more present and more seen, but that has a way of feeling like it's just out of reach at times. And my idea of what this is about is that it's about the consciousness of the distance between human beings in their state of kind of unified and merged collective existence with Source in some distant time before we were incarnating and on the wheel of, I guess it's called samsara. And where, how, you know, how we are in our bodies, right? So if you are aware, and if you have a soul, which is a kind of a growth process, and if you, you know, can still feel and hear the calling of the universe while you're in your body, that alone may lead you to a sense of being removed and distant and separate. And the kind of connection that longing describes may not be something that's too easily attained or possible to attain at all in physical form. And so there's this tension between, you know, what some part of your mind may recognize as an ideal state of being and like the you know, merge with the light kind of thing that is so kind of natural for Pisces to tune into, you know, one with the oceanic waters of existence and all that, and the ocean refuses no river, and these things that are, you know, real beautiful to contemplate and to experience when you get to. And then the reality on the physical plane, where particularly now there's so much animosity and there's so much lack of trust and some of the most very basic elements that would lead to a sense of joining and belonging and community are so difficult to ascertain and connect with. Even to spot what they are, how, you know, how you might go about it or who might be a person you could connect with. But I will say that in all these years of Pluto in Capricorn, this particular set of aspects going on right now, Jupiter conjunct Pluto, and also Jupiter making an aspect to Neptune. So not only is Jupiter conjunct Pluto, Jupiter is also what's called sextile Neptune. This is because Pluto and Neptune are traveling in this endless sextile that travel at about the same speed. And so there's been this thing going on since around the 1950s. It's slowly starting to lose its focus, but it's being rejoined right now by Jupiter dancing back and forth, where it first made a sextile to Neptune, and then it made a conjunction to Pluto, and then it's going to retrograde, make another conjunction, and then contact Neptune again. So these three potent forces in your life are, because, by the way, Pluto is very Piscean also, are in balance and in harmony. And so while it may seem that things are difficult and challenging and many days just perfectly messed up and like everyone is aware that there's this virus spreading and you don't have to read too far into the newspaper article to realize the extent of the risk factor and that to a very real extent we may all have to adjust the way that we live for the rest of our lives owing to this situation. The economic fragility, I'm speaking to you on the 2nd of March, the stock market lost 15% of its value during the time that the sun was in Pisces, the stock market 2020, the stock market lost 15% of its value, and it's recovered a little bit today on the second. All this crazy stuff is going on, and yet you still are in a good position. You are still in a workable position. If you take your whole situation fully on board, if you account for all of the different elements and the moving parts and the objectives that you have, and you fully take possession of your personal assets, you claim what is yours on every level, meaning what you have worked for, what you have invested in, what you have learned, what you know about yourself, the trust that you are building in yourself. If you can keep, you know, almost like you're traveling and you need to keep possession of your bags, right? This is a thing that we all know from traveling, is that, you know, you have to pack your bags well and keep an eye on them and not like turn your back on them. And you keep your passport on your body and you keep your money on your body. You don't put your passport or your money in some little bag that's floating around in some other bag, and you don't check it in baggage and all this stuff. And you get on the airplane with your computer and your phone, all this, using those as metaphors, using those as an example of what to do. You have all of these resources and assets that you're traveling with. And if you remember what they are and you take care of them and you remember to use them when you need them, and then you use the metaphor of travel to decide where it is that you want to go, and you take possession of making those choices, the most important choice a traveler makes is where he or she wants to go. You've got good stuff going on. You have excellent open potential, and you have resources to work with. We're going to talk more about that in the next section of the reading, what some of those resources are. But as messed up as the world is, if you remember who you are and you remember to use what you know and what you have, you're in pretty good shape for this planet at this time in history. One of the ways that I work with astrology is to treat certain phases of time as transitional into the next one. Now, of course, that is always true, right? For as long as there's time, one phase of time is transitional to the next, and then that's transitional into another one. But then there are the there are the times that when, you know, you're looking ahead at them, seem like the bigger islands on the ocean of time, or the higher peaks in the landscape of time. And then the stops along the way can seem like, visits to places on the way to a more important destination. And you're heading to a destination that you arrive at the end of the year on the Capricorn solstice, 1221, and on the same day that the sun arrives in Capricorn, Jupiter and Saturn, the two largest planets, and they are large. Together, collectively, I think they are 2,200 times the size of the Earth. Maybe a little bit smaller. I think Saturn's 900 times the size of the Earth, and Jupiter is about 1,200. It's incomprehensible. It's like the sun, only, you know, you don't really get sunburned from Jupiter unless you get too close, then you get a little toasted by the radiation, but that's another thing. You probably won't get there anytime soon. So these two big worlds, one of which rules your sign, and one of which rules a sign very important to your sign, Capricorn, and also Aquarius, make a conjunction on the winter solstice. And so this, in the reading of astrology, you just think, it's like coming across the Great Pyramid or something, right? It's like, you know, you're busy reading hieroglyphics carved into a rock, and then you look up, and then there's the Great Pyramid standing there, and you're like, well, what's that thing, and who put it there, and how do you go inside, and all that. So that's what this conjunction is. The conjunction is, let's call it the Great Pyramid of Giza conjunction, that takes place on 1221, and this is the inauguration of a brand new and long era of your life. Long, not necessarily in the sense of Jupiter's presence, though. Jupiter starts to transition into Pisces fairly early in 2021. And so that's nice. That's going to be great to have Jupiter in your sign. Saturn will be around for about 3 years in Aquarius. And so what this is doing together, they'll be there together for a bit under a year with some, it's difficult to describe the retrograde pattern, but let's just say it's about a year. And this year that they're together, which is going to be most of 2021, is a very unusual time for you because it involves opening up and expanding into inner territory. Inner territory that you may have never explored, you may have never considered was there, and where you will make many discoveries. Now, one of the reasons that inner territory is so crucial right now and so central to your to your experience, but also such an incredible benefit for you, is that one of the things that is destabilizing the world is the property of digital technology to explode people, to explode their inner reality into some collective reality, such that the inner reality ceases to exist in the way that it did before. Now, while all methods of electrical communication do this, the digital realm is just like being injected with hormones that accelerate the process and just make it move at existential infinite speed, and have this whole thing has made it such that most people have lost track of who they are. Because the interior reality that they would use to keep track of who they are has just been exploded onto Instagram, Twitter, and the ethers. And so, what you are being given is a chance to reverse this process for you personally and to reoccupy, to reinvest yourself, to take up your inner space. The reason I'm saying this, just from the standpoint of astrological rationale, is that Aquarius is the 12th place from Pisces. I use the words house and place synonymously. There's no word for, is there a word for house in Greek? I think that the word comes out to mean place in ancient Greek. So it's like, well, come over to my place. And your place in the form of the 12th house is your deep interior inner reality. Because that's what the 12th place is. The 12th place, the sign before yours, the sign before your rising sign, is representative of your personal inner universe. And this is where all of the astrological gravity is moving. And by gravity, I mean the big, big planet that bosses around all the other planets in the whole solar system. And another one of the super big planets, the second largest planet that helps boss everything around in the whole solar system, Saturn, and one of the most beautiful experiences of grandeur to even look at photographs of it. If I could pick one planet to actually see up close, I would choose Saturn. These two combine their energy and they move into your inner realm. And so you are going to have something precious. You are going to have something special. You are going to have something that is not really a thing for so many people anymore. And that is access to your inner reality. And the access to your inner reality comes at a time when there has been leading up to that quite a bit of exposure in the outer realm. We haven't even lived through the Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions yet. The Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions have the potential to magnify your presence in the world manifold. So whatever you do, I mean, to some extent, probably half of us now depend upon being known to some degree to be able to have sales come in and make a living. And the other half kind of like just still have jobs. But in any event, there's going to be this outward expansion, you know, more of that spreading into the ethereal realm. And, you know, while you're there, you know, collect yourself, collect your stuff there. I'm going to talk about that in a second when we get to Chiron, hunting power. And then these two planets move into your 12th house. And some very interesting shifts happen. One of them is going to be that you are able to occupy a portion of your consciousness that is not actually available to the world. You're going to claim yourself and have a space to do that in within you. Now, it's a while before we get there. There's not a while before you begin to test the territory. You begin to test the territory a little bit later in March. I'm recording now on the second day of March, so in about 19 days. Saturn makes its first ingress into Aquarius. So Saturn, the slower moving of the planets, is a bit ahead in this trip, and it will dip into Aquarius. And you then, this is in late March 21 through around July 1st. And so you'll have the end of March and then all of May and all of June to conduct a little experiment in reorienting in your interior space. This experiment is important because you're going to get to experience some of the advantages and the disadvantages and the challenges of this experience. And also, I think more significantly, find your bearings in the inner realm. Again, it's a brief visit. Then Saturn stays after that into 2023, at which time it moves into Pisces. So Saturn and Jupiter will be active in your life for quite a while now, because they're going to be in the sign previous to your own. Well, 2020, in a sign where you kind of colonize the outer world, Capricorn, and then through 2021 into 2023, a deep inner world, and then something that not ready to quite investigate yet, they move into Pisces, which is good news for you. This is more being tangible in the way that it's difficult to be at all in the world, and that it's particularly difficult for Pisces to be. That's what you're learning. And what I would propose for you is that your tangibility is really a thing that you possess inwardly. It's not a thing that you project outwardly. I know it seems like the opposite. Like if you're running for president, you have to, or mayor or whatever, you have to shake hands and meet people and knock on doors and put the signs on the door and have the ground game going. And all of that would be for you the equivalent of Jupiter in Capricorn. But imagine to focus your most potent elements of being. You would be opening up your interior space, your space of self-knowledge, and stabilizing in your interior space. It's not easy. I can tell you the way in which I experience this the most palpably, and sometimes it's very disturbing, which is at a certain point in the day, I am free to transition from being in front of a computer to picking up a musical instrument, usually a guitar. A guitar is not a digital instrument. It's electrical, okay, but it's not digital. It's not connected to the internet. It is amplified by tubes. I have an old style amplifier. It has metal strings that can be tuned and detuned and thumped on and picked and strummed and all this stuff. And it is a difficult transition to make, because I am so accustomed to being present in the outer world that to then step away into the next room and settle my being enough to claim my feelings in a visceral way. That's what music is, right? It's an expression of feeling, and an experience of feeling. This can be very destabilizing, and I have to work at it sometimes and really settle down. Sometimes a hit of weed and just like stay put and sit on the couch and feel this instrument vibrating in my lap. But it's a transition. And this is the, and maybe you have your own version of this. It's like, the put away your phone version of it or whatever it might be. This is the transition of these planets entering your 12th house. So practice, and the first taste is coming with Saturn entering Aquarius. Now there's from the history of ancient astrology, one thing to be aware of is how beautiful a thing Saturn in Aquarius is, and it is the sign where Saturn is what's called in haze. It's an old Greek word for the best condition that it can possibly be in. And additionally, the 12th house, well, there's another version of the dignities, where something called the joys of the houses. And Saturn is said to rejoice in the 12th house. So this is very good for Saturn to be in the 12th house. And this is what you have coming. And you get taste of it in the spring and early summer. So I suggest you notice the ways in which you feel like you just wake up one day and things are different, or you're different, and there's different opportunities open, or all those problems that you seem to have at some point in the past are no longer troubling you. And you notice where you have inner work to do, inner exercise to do, inner clearing to do. Saturn helps clear space. One of the best things Saturn does is it helps clear space. One of the other best things Saturn does is it has a way of tuning the vibration of Aquarius to a stable, tangible, and though it may seem contradictory, changeable, where you might think tunable in the sense of a radio, where you can move up and down the dial and find the place where you want to be without being stuck there. That is one of the possibilities of Saturn and Aquarius. And then Jupiter joins it. And were this conjunction not in the very first degree of Aquarius, I wouldn't nearly be so excited about it. But there's something special about the first degree. There's something personal and a bit ominous about it. And I think there's really relief from all of this interaction in the public. Now, Pisces is really good at like hanging out in a small space and needs that. You know, Pisces is the sign of the wide ocean. But once I went under the ocean, called scuba diving, and I was surprised to see the number of fish that like to hang out inside of crevices and rocks. They don't all just swim around like dolphins out in the ocean. A lot of fish are just looking at you from in between their little rocks, and you like look at you floating around, and they're like, what the fuck is this thing? And you're looking at them, and it's like there's a pair of eyes looking out at you. And I think all Pisces have a little bit or a lot of this desire to just kind of hang out in a space, wherever it might be, in your little space, and be. And just be. And if you can do that, great things are going to happen. Meanwhile, big things are happening now. This series of Jupiter-Pluto conjunctions feels really stable and really good, and like you're going to, in these remaining months of 2020, about 9 months left, 10 months left as of yesterday, get to claim something that really, truly is yours. Now, speaking of claiming something that really, truly is yours, one of the most, you know, beneficial placements you have right now is Chiron in the second house. Chiron in Aries. Chiron is in the sign after yours. Chiron spent about 8 years in Pisces. That ended in that transitioned out from 2018 to 2019. Took about a year to go from Pisces to Aries, and then Chiron took up residence in Aries in 2019, just to stay for about 9 years. So it's a nice long transit. And the second house is the house of one's movable resources, right? It's the stuff that you, we're back to this metaphor of like the stuff that you have packed in your travel baggage. So movable resources, things like your money, your talent, the tools of your trade, whatever that might be, whether it's leathersmithing equipment or your laptop or your, you know, your pens and pencils or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, tools of your trade. And it's also all of your personal resources, meaning your actual abilities, desires, intentions, and the possession of who you are. Not the concept of who you are, not the label you put on yourself or the clothes that you wear or the button that you wear or the team that's on your jersey, or, you know, whether you're that one year and then that the next year. That's all first house stuff that can cycle and move. The second house is where you make contact with and collect your actual being. And you are very fortunate to have Aries on the second house, because this describes the condition of humanity. All you ultimately have is yourself. If you don't have yourself, you can't have anything else. And so it is very helpful to have yourself. And so the original instructions for the entire concept of Pisces, which, by the way, is what the solar chart is. The solar chart is the chart for Pisces. It's for any sign, but in our case, Pisces itself. So what's the difference between the natal chart and the solar chart? Well, the natal chart is you, and the solar chart is the chart for what you might call archetypal Pisces. And in the original instructions for archetypal Pisces, you are endowed with yourself as your asset. You know this. Now, you can know things that you need to discover or rediscover or learn along the way, and Pisces certainly has its issues with confidence that can come with being feeling like you're diffused and like you're not sure where you begin and where others end. And this is all, of course, a continuous journey with Pisces. And when you've got Neptune in Pisces, like we have right now, that can just throw a couple of questions in and make the boundaries seem all the more blurry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't take all that stuff too seriously. Just, you know what you want and what you don't want. And that too is part of having Aries in the second place. Now you have Chiron here. And what Chiron does is provide a kind of an anchor. It is an anchor of awareness. It is an anchor of learning. It is an anchor of teaching. And it makes whatever it touches into a fully conscious process. And where people tend to struggle with Chiron is when they deny what the fully conscious process is trying to have them be conscious of. That is to say, to bring to the kind of awareness that we call knowledge, and then using what you know. Now, there's plenty of uncertainty involved in being human, plenty of uncertainty involved in being Pisces. There's plenty of challenges with lack of definition, but you've learned a lot from Chiron in Pisces. I think that the biggest gift, maybe, you know, I'd like to hear from you and hear about this, but one of the biggest gifts of Chiron in Pisces was resolving the whole question of identity. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a the other thing. Am I really a that? Am I really an artist? It's like, well, by the end of Chiron in Pisces, it's like, you are who you are, and sure, you're an artist if you got to be an artist. You sure, you're a filmmaker if you want to be a filmmaker. Sure, you're bisexual, you're straight, or you're gay, or you're married, or you're straight, you're monogamous, or you're polyamorous. Whatever. You're you. And so one of the blessings of Chiron in Pisces, approximately 2010 to 2018, was to integrate all of these seemingly separate concepts into just simply you. Such that labels don't matter so much anymore, if they matter at all. And you might be looking around at the world wondering, really, people are this obsessed with labels? They're this obsessed with what they call themselves and call one another? And, you know, trans people attacking other trans people for being transphobic or whatever? Like, is this necessary? And I think that you know that it's not necessary, because you've done quite a lot, excuse me, of personality integration work. Now comes gathering. What I am borrowing a term from the work of Carlos Castaneda, a term that Don Juan taught him, hunting power. Your second is your power. If anything is your power, your personal power that you have, your personal battery that's charged up, your personal spiritual gains that you've made, that would be the second house. And Chiron is teaching you how to gather your strength, gather your personal power. This is not a conceptual form of power. It's not a structural form of power. Like, I'm the police chief, I get to decide who's on duty. Or I'm the president, I can fly anywhere I want in Air Force One. Not that kind of power. I mean the kind of power where you are either a charged battery or not a charged battery. And what Chiron in the second is doing is teaching you how to charge your battery. I wrote about this in Respect for Pisces. I'm going to read to you, because I got it right. That's partly what delayed this reading, was I was doing the written 2021 reading for Pisces. I'm going to read you the part about hunting power. Let's see if I can find this. All right. There's a much deeper layer to Chiron in Aries, though. Aries, your second, is about your assets, which in Aries style means you, yourself. Not what you look like, not what you call yourself, not how you dress or how you identify in any sense of the word, but you. Aries is the sign of the warrior, ruled by the god Mars, who's also called Ares, A-R-E-S. Chiron is another form of the warrior. You might say he's the sacred warrior, in the spirit of Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, whose book on the topic is worth memorizing, called Shambhala, the Sacred Warrior, the Sacred Path of the Warrior. I strongly suggest that you get a copy of this and leave it in your bag, and both read it and flip it open and see where you land. Chiron is here to teach you about your personal power as an asset, a thing or quality you have, work with, own, and use. This is not power over anyone. It's not in any way unjust. Remember that most of the people you know are busy subverting their own power, giving it away. Your job is to collect your power. Ultimately, this is the power to take care of yourself. Don Juan Mattis, central in Castaneda's series of books, talks about hunting power. This is what Chiron is teaching you how to do. This begins with treating yourself with the utmost respect and never squandering your creativity. So this is my thought on basically charging your battery. It's kind of like you know you've got your phone, and to use a technological metaphor, and your charger, and you're looking for an outlet. You're somewhere like a mall or a bus station, and you're gonna find, you know, let's pretend you're at the mall. Which, does anyone go to the mall anymore? But let's pretend like it's 19 whatever, and you're at the mall, and you gotta find an outlet. That's hunting power. You're gonna find it. It's gonna be a free outlet. You're gonna go to the Gap and say, "Hey, you mind if I borrow your outlet and charge my phone?" Only the and they're gonna say yes, and you're gonna do it because you asked nicely, and they know you need to, and you're clear. That this is something you're going to do all the time, and it means, on one level, never giving your power away. This is something people do with great consistency, is they just give their power away to others. They give their power away in contractual situations. They give their power away in relationships. They do things that can be very detrimental. Like I've seen recently people do things they could get in very serious trouble and sued for, claiming that they're exercising power, when in reality they're just basically giving away their own power and that of other people. Watch, and you'll see people do this. Watch how people handle themselves in relationships. Notice how you handle yourself in your relationships. Be hip to this. Be hip to what it means to give your power away and what it means to claim your power back. your power that was already yours and what it means to be in the world and hunt power. Advantages, knowledge, information, but also this intangible thing that you gradually fill yourself with. So you have it when you need it. And then that's the thing that gets the result when you've got to get the result. One of the things that happens later in the year in September, and it's going to be interesting in the collective world, is that Mars goes retrograde. Goes retrograde in September. Let me get the dates on this, since we're doing dates in this reading. We're not in 2011 anymore. We're in 2020. Stations. Mars. I wish everyone were proficient enough in astrology to be able to navigate like this, but for now you have me. September 9, 2020, Mars goes retrograde in Aries. It's going to go all the way across Aries all summer long. The house of your power. Then it's going to stop on September 9th, and it's going to go retrograde. And it's going to be retrograde for a while. It's going to be retrograde until November 13th. So from September 9th to November 13th. September? More than 2 months. It's like there's 4.5 weeks to the calendar month. So it's like 11 or 12 weeks. It's not quite 12. 10 weeks. It's a while. And it's extended, it's expanded by how slowly Mars is moving around the time of the retrograde. So Saturn's going to spend about 6 months in your second house in Aries. This is time. It is time enough to work with, and I suggest you work with it. You are going to learn a lot about collecting power. And this means in every form, but it's yours. And if you're the giveaway your power type, you might not be. You might have figured this out a long time ago. You might have figured out how to claim your power. You might have figured out that there are certain things that are acceptable in relationships and in business. And there are certain things that are not acceptable in relationships. This is a very important starting point. That you adhere to your personal constitution. You follow your personal constitution. The opportunities all through 2020 are going to be abundant to do this. And you will learn a lot about how to work the financial realm. Coming from two different angles. It's coming from the angle of Capricorn, where your professional revenue is gained, where it's the second of the tenth. The tenth is your profession. The second of any house becomes the second of that house. It operates like the second. So your tenth is your professional reputation, and then the next house is what you earn from your professional reputation. Much going on there with Jupiter conjunct Pluto. Remember that, right? And then much of the year, beginning when Mars gets into position 1 degree Aries, that's 2022, previous, when Mars gets into Aries on June 27, 2020, and then it finally leaves in January. It enters Taurus in January. It's a long time. That's between 5 and 6 months. This is big learning time for you to acquire your power and learn to find it in yourself and to hold on to it and to use it judiciously for what you want to do. This is the physical plane. This is what we're doing on the physical plane. We are learning how to be in actual possession of, to work with, to use and acquire our talents, our skills, and our personal power. And this is what you've got going on. I'll cover the Venus retrograde in Gemini elsewhere, but there's a lot there about making sure that you're in the right place and making the place you are work for you. It's a lot about place with Venus retrograde in Gemini. All right. Thank you for listening. You are listening to the music of Brian Eno. We're going to end with some Vision Quest to fulfill the promise on the advertisement, but didn't have much time today, and Brian's beautiful. And this is called Atmospheric Lightness. And then this will now, this very moment, transition into a Vision Quest piece. Thanks for listening. And bye for now.